having the syringe in my hand and starting to inject and seeing it change as I'm injecting. And I just thought, oh, I love this. It feels like doing artwork. It feels like sculpting.
Right, right.
And I was pretty artistic as a child. I always loved to draw, and right, I loved right. procedures and family practice.
Okay.
And I thought, this is just the perfect blend of, I would say, art and science.
Okay.
And it just felt like doing artwork. So I loved it, and I thought, I want to do this more.
Hey, I'm Lewis the Laser Guy, and welcome to my podcast, Pursue Your Passion. Join me on my journey as we discover how estheticians, nurses, physicians, and complete career changers are living their passion in this booming billion-dollar medical aesthetics industry. Finding your purpose isn't only about making great money, it's about so much more. It's about tapping into your passions and chasing your dreams. Hello, Allison. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Lewis?
Thanks for joining our podcast. We do these every week to teach the world about the wonderful world of medical aesthetics, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, it's now $16 billion in counting. Crazy, right?
Crazy.
Yeah, so crazy that Allergan, the biggest player in our marketplace, of course, you know them quite well. They were just acquired by AbbVie, the seventh largest pharma company in the world, for $63 billion. And AbbVie,
wow.
I think they have a drug called Humira, and they're not in the aesthetic space, so they're jumping in. And also Pfizer, the creator of Viagra, over a year ago, tried to buy Allergan too. So everybody's trying to dive in this space. And our goal today is to find out why so many nurses like you are jumping into cosmetic medicines. But let's back up. So where are you from?
I'm an Arizona native.
Awesome.
Yeah, born and raised here.
Okay, so like what city? What city?
So I grew up in Gilbert.
Gilbert,
it's
Arizona.
Southeast.
Isn't that like a little farm town?
It is.
Did you guys
yes.
have like cows and horses growing up?
We didn't have cows, but I would say people with like farms were very close to us. We had to drive to Mesa for a grocery store.
Oh boy,
so,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay, and you were a nursing major in college.
Yes.
Okay,
I
cool.
went right into nursing.
Was
right
that
from
was
high
that a 4-year gig at ASU, or how long was that?
It was 4 years, yep, to get your bachelor's
right.
in nursing.
So you're in college, you're taking nursing school. Why did you want to be a nurse initially? Like when you stepped into college, why a nurse?
You know, my sophomore year in high school, a nurse from ASU came to talk to our class.
Okay.
It was our high school chemistry class. And she said, I'm a nurse. I went to ASU.
Right.
And I love being a nurse because you get to work with people and there's a lot of jobs out
right.
there. And you should think about it.
And you were sold.
That yeah. And I thought as a sophomore in high school, you know, it sounds like I'd like to do that. I'm going to be a nurse. And I never changed my mind from sophomore year in high school hearing that talk. And thankfully, I love it. Now I've been
so during nursing school, like what were you thinking? Were you thinking maternity, OBGYN, hospice? Like where was your mind going in college?
I really didn't know.
No idea.
And that's the beautiful thing about nursing and medicine, mm-hmm. I think. You can just know, I see myself going in this direction, but you don't have to pick your specialty before you start. So I just thought, right. I think I'll love nursing, but I have no idea where I want to be. And yeah. I just went for it.
When I got in this business 15 years ago, nurses would be in the hospital scene. And then after years, they'd say, well, maybe I should consider Botox and fillers. They'd come to National Laser. But tell me your story. So you have your very first nursing job. What was the very first nursing job after college?
So my very first job as an RN was in the adult medical surgical intensive care unit at Scottsdale Shea Hospital. So I worked in the ICU through
okay.
my master's program. So I went to become a nurse practitioner.
Okay.
So after my 4-year degree, I went right into the master's program, which was another 2 years.
So you
and
went nurse to nurse practitioner. Boom,
right
boom.
Right away. Knocked Never took a break.
So you were a young nurse practitioner. What age were you a nurse practitioner?
I was young, yes. I was the wee young age of 24.
Wow, and that's awesome.
I would walk into the exam room and patients would say, I'd say, I'm here to do your pap smear. And they'd look at me and say, are you sure?
Are you sure your mom isn't coming in to do that?
Are you the medical assistant? What's going on here? So in right. the practice I worked for, they made a rule that I had to wear a white coat.
To look older, right?
So that I looked the part.
I love
and
it.
It's so funny because that was just ingrained in me. And now I still wear my white coat, even to teach. And people are like, why do you wear that? It's just my uniform.
So
I was young. Yep.
So I'm curious. So you're doing family practice, you're mm-hmm. doing nursing, you're a prestigious NP, and how did
right.
you stumble into Botox and fillers? How'd that happen?
So it happened because the practice I worked for, it was a beautiful office mm-hmm. in the Biltmore area. That's a really nice city in Phoenix.
Sure.
Anyone listening might be familiar with it. But they were realizing, you know, we're just not getting reimbursed very much by insurance companies for these visits. And we're having Allison and our doctor seeing a patient like every 10 to 15 minutes, and we're still struggling to cover our overhead.
Because insurance doesn't reimburse
they
like they used to.
They don't want to reimburse.
Yeah.
You just don't have time with patients. I remember I was working probably 60 hours a week on salary.
right.
taking my charts. So I'm charting over lunch, charting all weekend. And I remember sitting down calculating, like, wow, with how many hours I'm working and my salary,
it's not as much as I thought. Right?
I've just been a nurse. And, but I thought, this is what I chose. I have to do this. I just need to tough it out. So thankfully, I think they were pretty, you know, they had pretty good business mindset, I think. And this was 10 years ago now. 10 years ago, thinking back, I'm like, that went fast. But the business owner had the idea to bring in medical spa services to the family practice.
Right.
So he said, Allison, you know, you just started with us. We're thinking of bringing in med spa services.
Had you even heard of Botox and fillers?
No, no.
So you'd never done it before.
I was only 24 years old.
So you never touched this stuff before.
I didn't even know what a wrinkle was yet. I'm like, I don't know. So basically they said, would you like to go to training with the doctor?
Okay.
We'll sponsor your training to learn Botox, fillers, medical weight loss, hormone replacement therapy, lasers,
everything.
They said, we want to bring this in. We already have this patient base. It's a nice office, a nice area. The patients trust us. If they're going to be getting these services, why wouldn't they get them from us?
And did that seem intriguing to you? Was that cool?
Well, I didn't have a strong feeling either way. I just said, you know, I'm new. Everything's new to me. Uh-huh. I don't mind learning something else new. I've just been in school my entire life. Sure. So I went for it. But I do remember my first class learning dermal
fillers. Do you remember
the
first person you injected Botox or fillers? The first patient ever?
I do. It was a model I brought to the training
a friend.
Class. No, it was a receptionist.
Okay.
Oh, no, maybe it was a medical assistant at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, so she loved it. She came in. She got to be injected. But I brought her to the training. And I remember the training specifically, the first time I learned to inject dermal fillers.
Mm-hmm.
Having the syringe in my hand and starting to inject and seeing it change as I'm injecting. And I just thought, oh, I love this. It feels like doing artwork. It feels like sculpting.
Right, right.
And I was pretty artistic as a child. I always loved to draw and I loved procedures and family practice.
Okay.
And I thought this is just the perfect blend of, I would say, art and science.
Okay.
And it just felt like doing artwork. So I loved it. And I thought, I want to do this more.
When I met you 3 or 4 years ago, I remember I loved you so much, and you had such great skills and great personality. I think, I'm going to get this Allison girl to work for me. You remember the conversation?
I remember.
We had a couple meals, and I'm trying to talk you into it. And I thought you were going to work with me. And all of a sudden, one day, you said, Lewis, I decided that I love this so much. I'd love to work for you, but I'm going to start my own gig. I'm going to walk away from all my jobs and start my own business.
Right.
How long have you had your own business now for?
It's been just over 3 years.
Okay, so for nurses or nurse practitioners out there thinking, well, gosh, you know, how hard is it to start their own business? Because it's never easy. It's a curve. So talk through that first couple of months, because everybody struggles in the beginning, right? It's always nerve-wracking and scary and rent, and you're on your own, right? There's not like a salary. So talk me through that.
So when I made that decision, you know, I want to start my own practice, it really came from, you know, having worked in medical spas and realizing someone else is dictating how much time you can spend with patients, what services you offer. It's just someone else controlling everything. And I thought, you know, I'm the one developing these relationships with patients. I should decide, and I'm the one doing the procedures, how long I spend, what I'm going to be offering to them. So I made that decision. And basically, it was important to me not to take out any loans.
Right.
I didn't believe in going into debt over
So you started off a couple of days a week, and then you kept your day job a couple of days a week?
Exactly.
The
so
smart
I
way,
kept
yeah.
I kept other jobs. I said, I'm going to just work part-time a few other places in a non-competitive
So the cosmetic
office.
Medicine was almost like a side hustle. Let me
right.
prove it out. Let me sure I can do it before
exactly.
I walk away from everybody else.
Exactly. I didn't just say, boom, drop everything.
No, smart,
Let's go
smart.
For it. Because then I would have had to probably have a business partner. I probably would have had to take out loans and had it financed. And I just didn't feel comfortable taking that big of a jump. I don't think I would have done it had it been that
so
big.
So as an
jump.
Entrepreneur, you have your own business. At what point did you say, okay, I think I can slowly start doing less and less of the other stuff? Was that after 3 months or a year? Or how long did it take for you kind of fading
me,
other things?
I'd say for me, probably about a year. I could have cut back much sooner than that, but I didn't ever want to feel pressure and stress.
Sure.
Like, oh gosh, my cosmetic office isn't fully booked, or I have some openings. I didn't want to come from a place of being stressed, or even like patients to feel that nervous energy, like, okay, I need them to buy this and that to cover the overhead. No, I didn't want to ever be stressed. I wanted to always be fun and enjoy
just
doing
a nice,
it.
Nice, good pace.
Yeah, so probably it took me about a year, but I will say the way that I grew my practice was 100% through word of mouth referrals.
Awesome.
So that takes longer.
So you did it without marketing dollars, just
no
yourself.
Marketing dollars.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
No marketing dollars at all, but
but you're good on social media. You're active on social media, right?
Yeah, but I would say mostly it just came from those first few patients I found that would refer a lot were like hairdressers and estheticians, and they worked in the area. And I would tell them, I would actually go in and meet them and say, listen, I'm a nurse injector. I just opened my own practice.
Let's talk,
I'd love to treat you. I'll give you 10% off your first treatment. And then anyone you refer to see me, I'll give you a $50 credit to say thank you. Because my whole practice comes by referrals. And I still say that to this day. I don't give new patients 10% off. But I do give a $50 referral credit. And they think that's so great.
Is it true that after just a couple days of foundational training, somebody can have the basic knowledge to get out there and rock and roll? You're always learning. We're always evolving and learning. But a lot of nurses don't know that. A lot of nurses think you have to go to school for 6 months or 2 years to become a cosmetic injector. They don't realize that after a handful of days, you can get some good basic training to get to the next step, right?
Exactly, yeah. If you come to our school, the National Laser Institute. No, this is not a plug. This is not a paid advertisement or something, but I teach there, as you know. And the training that we offer now is so different than what I had been offered
back
years
in the
ago.
Day,
it was in a hotel conference room. I bought one model and we're there for 4 hours and boom, that's it. We're certified. You can inject. And I just didn't feel like I had a baseline level of confidence, but the way we do it is so different now. I mean, these students are coming in, they're already a nurse or higher. So they have the foundational knowledge in, you know, anatomy. They know basic injections. We're just teaching them the skills necessary to do it safely in the cosmetic realm. So they can leave after 2 days, one of Botox, one of fillers. I like if they take the advanced days too, so maybe four at the most, and have, I would say, a guideline and like a framework for, okay, I know my anatomy, I know where's safe to inject, where's not safe, and they have that foundation to go forward with confidence and to apply for their first job too. Because if you don't at least have that certificate, I don't know many employers who would even want to interview you or take your resume. That's kind of just the starting point.
So even though you didn't accept the full-time position at National Laser years ago, I'm glad that we still need to teach some days now and then and then stay in our teaching team, which is awesome. So we appreciate
that. I love it. I just love it. Both of my parents were teachers, so I think maybe it's in my blood somehow. But I think if you, you know, I've always had a passion for learning, and I think what comes with that is a passion for teaching too. And teaching students, I mean, they're nurses or higher doctors we teach, you know.
And it keeps your skills fresh. The more you talk it out loud, it keeps you fresh.
Oh, yeah. It keeps you on your toes. Their questions are just so good. And it just, okay, sometimes I'll say, you know, let me research that. I'll get back to you, you know. But yeah, great questions. And pursue your passion. If you're watching this, you're probably already thinking about it, or, you know, I could see myself, you know, moving toward that direction. Just go for it. Take the first step and go for it.
Thanks for your time, my dear.
Thank
this is awesome.
You.
I appreciate it.
Thank
I appreciate
you so
it. Nice
much.
Of you.
Nice to see you too.
Thank you for listening to the Pursue Your Passion podcast. Are you interested in learning more about the medical aesthetics industry? Well, feel free to visit us online at nationallaserinstitute.com or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. I'm Lewis, the Laser Guy, and we'll see you next week.